event that goes from, what's 16 hours from now anyway? That's
1 o'clock, right?
1 o'clock in the morning tomorrow. Gee. Well, let's tell you who we have with us to start out with. I'm going to go from my right to left. Barbara DeAngelis is here. By the way, Barbara, good to meet you finally.
I've heard so much about you.
Oh, this is going to start
boy.
Very friendly. I'm very familiar with you, and I didn't even know it.
You know one of my ex-husbands. That has to be it.
No, not at all. I used to watch you on CNN.
Oh, that's right.
The late Wednesday night things that you did.
So you're a late night person.
Oh, yeah. I never go to bed before 1 or 2 in the morning. That's why this is, it's midnight body clock time. I got in at midnight last night. Flew MGM Grand, by the way, sat next to Jodie Foster.
Are you serious?
Yeah. She's a very nice lady, and she's very shy. She doesn't say much, but when you say something to her, boy, she goes like a bat out of hell. Tom Likas is here, sitting directly in front of me. Hi, Tom.
How you doing, Rush?
Always a pleasure to see you.
Sure said your name was Mr. Hinckley or something. Could have gotten some attention there.
I thought about, you know. But I said, so she did an interview with Karen Burns of West 57th. That really shook her up, that whole Hinckley thing.
Oh, I know it did.
And I...
You have to know how to press people's hot buttons, Rush. Yeah, That's my job. I'm a professional. Don't try this at home.
Next is Joe Crummy, who's appropriately named.
Yes.
And
how about a microphone there, Joe?
Yeah, I got one. Are we on? Is this on? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's on.
Sounds like it is. And Dave Grosby, my old pal from Sacramento, now here at KFI doing mornings. And he's graciously... I didn't know that I was going to be taking your headphones from you and denying you your use of them, but that's happened. I'll be glad to switch with you if you prefer to use these.
No, Rush, please. I think those headphones might put you in the right frame of mind.
Besides, they wire these in. They're afraid we're going to steal these, you know, like we're going to come in here and steal the headphones.
Speaking of which,
yes.
I walk in here and the guard downstairs demands that I put on this visitor badge.
So it's like it's his fault.
So I put on the visitor badge and I'm walking around, and as people start rolling in, everybody in this place is wearing ID badges, even the general manager and vice president, even the program. It's because of you?
Oh, I didn't say that.
Others are saying that you have caused bomb threats to occur here.
I couldn't possibly. Not me.
I can believe that, but the fact that the security staff here doesn't recognize the general manager on a daily basis, either they really must take them seriously.
Yeah, of course. I lost mine the day after they issued these, and have not worn mine since.
Well, I know that the audience is eagerly anticipating this, and there's been some discussion here, folks, as to whether or not to include phone calls in this extravaganza, and it really has been left up to the individual hosts who are in charge of each segment. And we're going to play it by ear. I would urge you to, if you hear something that you want to input with or have some say on, give it a try. We make no guarantees that we're going to take any calls, but if we do, it might not hurt to be standing by. I thought that it might be fun to start this thing off by asking Barbara to explain something that I read in the paper the other day, Barbara, and I'm not quite sure about. Frog licking. Have you heard of this craze?
We're going to start on frog licking here today.
Well, that's for us a nice highbrow start.
Have you heard about it? Are you familiar with this? And I'm not making it up. Now, she thinks, look at her face.
No, I haven't heard about it, but I'm not surprised that you brought it up this morning.
All right, here's... Why? Why are you not surprised?
I was told to expect anything from you.
Oh, I see.
Anything from you.
Here's what frog licking is.
Is this Satan people lick frogs?
No. This is college kids. The Colorado River spotted toad. If you lick the Colorado River spotted toad, you get high. It secretes a substance through its skin that causes you to hallucinate.
It has a natural hallucinogenic.
Natural hallucinogenic. Now, some people have gotten so into this that they're licking other kinds of frogs which secrete poison, and they're dying, of course, when this happens. Now, the question I have is, who's the first person that did this? And how do you... What would motivate somebody, Barbara, to go pick up a frog and lick it? What is the indication there?
Well, I suppose somebody who comes from a dysfunctional family where one of the parents was alcoholic would be craving strange substances the rest of their life and would look for it in a frog.
Now, see, don't you miss the old days when the kids just used to play with gerbils and that kind of thing? That was, right?
Well, what about your basic glue sniffer? I mean, I guess that's boring.
Who was the first person to decide that drinking milk from a cow was a good idea? I mean, come on. People have got to take chances.
I don't think it's a good idea. I don't either.
Licking a frog? Come on. That's not comparable to drinking milk from a cow.
Really?
No, you're the first I disagree with that.
How could you look at a cow and think, you know, I want to drink what comes out of that?
I don't. Probably because it came from the Bible, Groz. Who knows?
The Bible.
Oh, so wait.
We're into the Bible.
It's been 7 minutes, and we're on the Bible.
Oh, man.
I haven't taken us to the Bible for permanence. I'm merely suggesting an answer to his question. Now, I want to know, ma'am. I'm serious.
Do I look like the kind of woman who would know anybody who licks frogs?
But you know human behavior. No, I don't know if you know anybody who licks frogs or not. I don't know anybody who licks frogs. The last thing I would do if I saw a frog is pick it up and lick it. I might try to milk it, you know, if I lived in the Stone Ages, but I don't know if I would try to lick a frog.
All I can say is I guess when you're in college, you get bored and you'll do just about anything. And look, after all, it gets people's attention. You're talking about it on radio.
Right.
The first subject meeting of the mouse, frog licking.
People are changing their vacation reservations as we speak and heading for the Colorado River.
I am merely trying to let you know that I've done my homework. I'm trying to relate to what you do. I'm looking for a serious answer. We could segue here and talk about the earthquake just a bit that's going on up in San Francisco, where the aftershocks continue. Good news is that there are fewer cars pancaked in the Nimitz Freeway than they thought. But the governor is now saying, how about a surtax, either an increase in the sales tax or some other kind of consumption tax in order to pay for the cleanup here? Is this the kind of tax increase people will support?
I would not support it.
You would not?
Would not support it. No. No. I don't see why the people of just the state of California should share in the expense. I think the whole country should share in it. And if you're going to add some kind of a surtax, rather than, I heard one suggestion of 25 cents a gallon for gasoline or some outrageous figure, I think it should be spread out throughout the country. There were disasters all over the place, Hurricane Hugo, other things that happened. I don't think one state can afford to pay those costs on its own.
Well, but if you do it that way, if you start having national taxation to handle natural disasters that happen everywhere in the country, then you're giving a mandate for an unceasing taxation increase.
But then you have to ask yourself how much money the United States sent to Mexico or to countries who we don't even know for helping them, and they won't even help one of our major cities.
Good point. The Senate or Congress, House Representative, one of the two, is going to be debating today whether or not to increase the amount of aid to Poland. For what? For going democratic. Poland isn't in desperate need.
Well, there you go.
I agree with you.
We're spending a little bit of money there that a lot of people question. Is it necessary just because Poland decided to go democratic that we increase the benefits that we make to them?
Well, also, when you talk about some of the people who are damaged here, let's face it. We're talking about some people who own $500,000 houses and were too cheap to spend $1,000 a year on earthquake insurance. I'm sorry. I don't think we should be bailing those people out.
Yeah. I've been thinking about that, and I'm not sure that I agree with you there. On first glance, and the natural gut reaction is that you should not bail them out, that they took the risk and that they're suffering the consequences and so forth. But I don't know. I have a little bit more compassion. These are the kind of people I really have compassion for, as opposed to those who aren't trying to do the best for themselves and so forth. They're shouting at me, we got to take a break here. It's time to go to traffic. Mark Dennis is waiting for a traffic update. We'll be back with more of Meeting of the Mouse in just a minute. KFI, AM 640, it's the Meeting of the Mouths. Rush Limbaugh here, and we are with Joe Crummy, Barbara DeAngelis, Tom Likas, and Dave Grosby. And during the break, we had a knockdown drag out about this frog licking business. What is it you can't believe?
It's not the frog licking business. It's the, you asked the first person, who would be the first person to do this, what the mindset could be, and I still say that it can't be any crazier than the mindset of the first person that looked at a cow and said, I think I want to drink what comes out of that.
Well, you don't go up and lick the cow, for crying out loud. I would submit admit to you that when a cow gets full of milk that it's going to leak it, and you're going to be able to see it, and then maybe you take a whiff of it, who knows. But you're not going to pick up a greasy, slimy frog and lick the thing. I think somebody does that, it's sick behavior. We do not agree.
I don't think that licking a frog is any more sick and slimy than smoking cigarettes.
Ooh. Well, now, who in here smokes?
I smoke.
Uh-huh.
All by myself.
You know, I really...
This one.
Are you serious about that? I am serious about that.
I am serious about that.
I started this out to be frivolous. I really did, just to get off on a lighthearted note.
No, but think about it. What if a pile of burning, smelly, smoldering weeds, and I'm going to go stick that in my mouth. I think that's just as silly, according to your argument, as licking a frog.
Not at all. A cigarette or a tobacco product is the result of processing. Mm. It is that you can burn tobacco and know what happens to it before you inhale it. Licking a frog, if you don't see any difference in that, than smoking a cigarette or drinking milk for crying out. No wonder. Do you all have kids? Do you have any
but
kids
this,
growing
up? This is Los Angeles. People have different values.
I know. All right. Enough. Joe, you have any input on this? You're sitting there rolling
around. I really don't know how to respond to a lot of this, but I'll be with you.
But it's part of it. You know, you can take it as part of the drug problem here, folks. I mean, it's kind of like, the gerbil routine was a safe sex compromise. And now frog licking is perhaps a way to beat the anti-drug laws, because there's no law in the books that says you can't lick a drug.
Well, now there's another thought, the idea of anti-drug laws.
What about anti-drug laws? Are they bad?
I'm waiting until the federal government does something about those frog kingpins and those frog pushers.
Well, that's the
frog cartel.
You chuckle, but I guarantee you
the frog licking is just another in a long, long, never-ending series of ways of people trying to alter their state of consciousness.
That's
something that has gone on from the beginning of mankind. It will never end. The whole idea of fighting the drug war is something that I think maybe we should talk about a little bit. There is a professor at UCLA who thinks that the idea of trying to ban drugs and telling people you can't do this and can't do that is a waste of time, because it's the kind of behavior in folks you're never going to stop anyway.
No, he traces this back through thousands
years
in every culture that have used hallucinogenics or whatever, and says that altering state of consciousness is a natural human desire.
Also animals.
Animals do it to some extent, too. Obviously, the extent to which people are doing it and what the consequences are is what the problem is. But people, if they're not feeling good, want to do something to feel better, and that's the basis of why people get hooked on drugs.
Wait a minute. I want to know how animals alter their state of consciousness on purpose. What do they do?
Well, there were...
Do they lick frogs?
You could lick each other.
They could. Some of the stories that were cited were some animals going back, and then they tested them. I don't know if it was sheep or exactly what it was, eating a certain kind of plant that caused a certain kind of reaction in them, and doing it over and over and over again.
Eucalyptus, right? The koala bear supposedly does that and just spends its whole life kind of floating on air, right?
So that could be an example.
Now, do you think that the way to deal with... All right, a certain percentage of our population, nation, state, world, whatever, is going to spend their life stupefied, and that's it, let them do it?
Yep, all of them. Legalize all drugs.
Yeah.
I say this week after week, we talk about this at least once a week.
Yeah.
Heroin, crack,
What's the one drug in this society that's legal? Alcohol. Nicotine,
caffeine.
All right, but you can't compare those two to alcohol.
Well, you
those are not mind-altering substances to the point that alcohol is. You can drive a car if you smoke 18 packs of cigarettes.
How many cups of coffee do you drink a day?
I don't know.
You want to see how mind-altering coffee is? You take someone who's a coffee drinker see them start to go crazy.
Barbara, now hang on a moment. Let us try to be reasonable. We have 15 and a half hours to go. You cannot compare getting drunk to drinking coffee. You can't compare getting drunk and driving a car to smoking 3 packs of cigarettes and trying to drive a car. I mean, we know that 70% of all murder arrests...
Drugs are alcohol-related.
Alcohol. 55% of all arrests in this country are alcohol-related, and it's legal. You don't think, Tom, that by legalizing all this stuff, it's going to expand the universe of users?
Everybody who wants it has it right now.
I don't think so.
Oh, you don't?
I would disagree. People that want drugs get drugs.
Why are you so willing to accept that when that isn't true? Look around you.
It's easy to see. You don't even have to read the paper to know that.
Maybe I live in a sheltered world. I probably do, but I don't know one person that I know who uses cocaine trips or LSD or any of these hallucinogenic drugs. I don't know anybody who does it. Now, I'm sure there are people I know who do, but I don't know it. It's not something that I see every day.
That's illegal. What are they going to do? Turn themselves into you?
No, I don't think that it's as widespread.
Got my heroin
we know
here
the
a minute,
number
Mark.
Of cocaine users is actually going down, for example.
See, I don't know anyone who uses either because I don't use drugs, but I bet if I decided to get high tomorrow, I could probably spend about 10 minutes, make a few phone calls to people that I didn't even know used
phone
drugs.
Phone calls? Head to the Mexican restaurant across
right
the street.
Right down the street.
I was
going to
name it, but...
Mexican restaurant. And is that where... You know, Tom, that takes long breaks on his show.
The crack house Mexican restaurant
well,
over here.
The point is that if you let people who are naturally inclined to destroy their lives do so with impunity... People don't live in vacuums. People have impact. Their actions have impact on their families, other people, society at large.
That's true, but it's not limited to drugs. My God, you make a bad business deal. You invest all your money in a business and it goes sour. It affects your family, too. We don't make that illegal. You take all kinds of risks in life, and some are going to affect your family. Fact is that people are using drugs, always have and always will. Cocaine wasn't always illegal. It was legal for many years. It was part of Coca-Cola for many years. The fact is that people are going to use drugs anyway, and what it's boiled down to now, Rush, is that we live here in L.A. with 6 locks on our doors to prevent people who need drugs from coming into the house and taking the VCR. Look, if it's between me and somebody offing themselves, I choose me.
Okay. Now, if you want to legalize drugs to get crime out of it, go ahead. I would submit that would probably work up to a point, wouldn't take all crime out of it, because look at what the statistic I just gave you. 55% of all arrests are alcohol-related. When you alter your behavior, even though you can have free access to a legal drug...
You're still going to go out and do it.
You're still
going to
go out
and
do it. You're going to break the law. You're more inclined to do it, and you're not going to care as much when you do it. You're not going to have as much responsibility. We want to increase the number of people running around who have no responsibility, fine. But if you actually care about the human race, and I hate to come at you with this large vision of things, but if you care about the human race, and if you consider yourself a member of civilization, then you have to do what you can to leave civilization in as good a shape as it was when you leave.
What you have to do...
And just allowing people to destroy their lives.
The drug
rather
war
than
a
tell
failure.
Them not to do it.
It's a failure. All it's doing, you want to talk about people's personal liberties. What's happening here is we're turning this country into a police state and allowing cops to get into our glove compartments, and now we allow roadblocks to look for people who are drunk drivers, and we're talking about weakening the Fourth Amendment in this country. This is turning into a police state. Drug testing on the job, it's insane. I certainly don't mind people being drug tested when they are pilots, or Amtrak drivers,
why?
That kind of thing.
Why?
I don't mind that
why?
At all. Why?
What's the difference?
The difference is, well, of course, there's public
their
safety
civil
involved,
rights
there's
are
other
being,
people
you
involved.
You violate one person's civil right, you violate all of our civil rights. Isn't that the theory?
Well, no, because, again, if you're involved in public safety, if you're involved in driving a train with 600 people on
all
board,
right.
Yeah, it's different.
The thing is, it works. That's the amazing thing about it. The Southern Pacific Railroad, you remember this, up in Northern California, mm-hmm. had a bunch of derailments. They found out that engineers were on drugs of some kind, instituted random testing. The amount of accidents and derailments went downhill zappo, and the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco said, you can't do that. You violate your civil rights. We had a policy that was clearly working. And, of course, you can't. Exactly what you wanted, Tom.
But the fact
exactly
is...
Exactly what you wanted.
The fact is that the drug use, no matter how much we spend, billions every year, and the Coast Guard and the Border Patrol and on and on and on, it doesn't work. It hasn't worked.
All right. Why
we
don't
failed.
You do... Well, we have to take a break. Terry Ray Elmer's coming up with the news. I have a question for you when we come back.
Okay.
This is Meeting in the Mouse. This is KFI AM 640. Rush Limbaugh here with Joe Crummy, Barbara DeAngelis, Tom Likas, and Dave Grosby. Here's Terry Ray with the news. Here's Terry Ray with the news.
Hello, my name is Terry Ray Elmer, and the news today is...
I guess. All right. Let us know when we're ready to go with the news. Let me just ask you the question, Tom.
Yeah.
Would you...
That mic's microphone.
Here, where are they? I can turn them on.
I think we're on.
All right, now... Would you, let's say cocaine's legal, and I'm not trying to trap you or personalize your life or make you say, if you don't want to answer this, feel free. I'm just curious, would you do your radio show on drugs if it were legal?
No.
Why not?
Because it would affect my performance.
Right. Now, you have the responsibility enough to know that. Would you go out and do drugs after you finished?
If drugs were legal?
Yeah.
Not at this point, no.
Why?
I did drugs as a kid. I've admitted
okay,
that
so
on the
you
air.
Know
no
it's
deal.
Wrong. I mean, there's nothing to be gained in it, right?
Wrong. I mean, again, I'm not going to be subjective about this. It's not good for me. It doesn't do anything for me. Now, if I were unemployed and downtrodden and felt like there was no hope, I don't know. Maybe I would.
It's
but
It's not good for anybody.
It's
that's
not,
the
it's
thing.
Not good for you. I'm totally anti-drug. However, you take somebody who is 11 years old, who never knew his father, who cannot see any possibility of a financial hope for himself, whose mother is an alcoholic, and who doesn't have the proper education. You tell that kid not to take drugs, you know, legal, not legal.
That you're missing the point. The point is people are going to take them.
Oh, wait a minute.
People are going to take them, and what you should do...
That's what the rehab experts say. That's a cop-out. That is really
a cop-out. What should be done is that they should try and spend a lot of this money that they're spending on drugs that may be a little bit safer, because it's a human behavior that has been with us from the dawn of time and is not going away.
Oh, jeez. Now we're ready for the news. All right, Terry Ray Elmer on KFI AM 640. Hello, Terry Ray.
Hello. Drugs? I'm stunned. Drugs, frogs, and cows. KFI News Time is 9:33. Some of the stories they're working out of the KFI newsroom, a fire burning right now at the corner of Venice and Overland.
Meeting of the Mouths on KFI AM 640 on a Friday morning. With the studio, with me in the studio, Joe Crummy. You gotta jump in here, Joe.
I will. I have to defend drugs now. That's what's gonna happen to me.
Barbara DeAngelis is here, Tom Likas and Dave Grosby. I'm Rush Limbaugh. We're here for 16 hours of talk, and we are also inviting you to call, but I want to tell you people something. We are going to be really scrutinizing you people on the phones. If your topics are not right in there, it's history. We're going to be real tough about this. And there's no guarantee that we will get calls on the air, but even though we are inviting you to sit out there and wait on hold for a while, we just may go to phones at any time. We left off talking about drugs and who's got you believing that there is a certain percentage of Americans that are going to stupefy themselves, or people, doesn't matter if Americans or not, and no matter what we do.
How can you not believe it? That's the way it is. It's the way it has always been. All you're doing is looking at history, the history of humankind. People have always done it.
And also, not everybody who... I'm in this terrible position of having to defend drug use here.
But not everyone gets stupefied.
That's what I want to say. Not everybody who does drugs just gets out of it so they can't even get up, the next morning. It's not like that, Rush. Don't ask me how I know.
So
you guys can all sit around here. You can see how lousy drugs are, but
let's get somebody to sit here and talk about what a great contribution they make to society, how much they can help you perform as a human being, what they can do for your life. Let's hear somebody talk about the positive aspects of drugs.
Aldous Huxley talked about them regularly, wrote several books about them.
That's right.
Aldous Huxley experimented with mushrooms and LSD.
And so did Timothy Leary. And look at what he got. Look at what he wrote. Do you think the drug problem today, some theorize that it exists today only in a certain generation, that being the 60s Woodstock generation?
Well, then let's look back let's look back at Prohibition, a complete failure.
Right.
The government spent $8 zillion trying to prevent people from getting alcohol, buying alcohol, drinking alcohol.
After they had already had free access to it. Prohibition doesn't hold true as an argument now.
We have free access to drugs now. I mean, that's the whole point.
No, you don't. It's illegal.
Yeah, but this idea that I can walk down the block here, we're here on the cusp of Koreatown here. I can walk right down the block, right onto Wilshire Boulevard. I can buy crack. I can buy cocaine.
But
I can buy pot.
But you won't, because you know better. Now,
that's
why
not
do you
why.
Know better?
Yes, it is.
You just said it was.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's not because it's illegal. That's not what's stopping me.
No, you know it's no good for you.
But it's not because it's illegal. I know because I tried it. And I didn't like it.
All right, but why is it illegal? Do you think there are people who make these things illegal do it just because they like to play God and punish people?
Well,
and say, no, you can't do that?
I suspect, frankly, and excuse me for being cynical, I suspect that it's kept illegal because that allows the government to develop a police state so they can come and look into your glove compartment whenever they feel like it. Yeah, I do believe that.
And I'll tell you what bothers me. What bothers me is the majority of the people walking around trying to be in an anti-drug war themselves drink alcohol, which is legal all the time. And in my opinion, alcohol, drugs, there's not that much difference from it. And there's a real, real lack of consistency in how we deal with these substances. I can't stand the two-fadedness of somebody who sits around and talks about how bad drugs are and then goes home and drinks three martinis that night.
Yeah, that's a good point. And also, I don't think the drug war is going to be a success. Also, the drug war will not be a success. And as far as I'm concerned, this is the point, Rush, because there is a certain amount of Americans, a lot of them, who want their drugs. They want it, and you don't see that resolve. You hear a lot of people talk about it.
All right.
You hear a lot of rhetoric from Washington.
I know the kind of reaction I'm going to get. Well, let's just let everybody have everything they want then. If you want a Mercedes, the hell with the fact that you can't afford it. Go get one.
But
you're entitled.
That's not an analogy.
That's crazy. That's inflammatory. No, it is not inflammatory.
If you can afford a Mercedes, then go buy a Mercedes.
Well, I'm telling you that some people can't afford a Mercedes, but if people want to do it, you're talking about credit cards or something.
But what's the difference between telling somebody they can go into a liquor store when they're 18 or 21 and start buying beer or buying wine,
and
the person's going to become an alcoholic? And the truth is, there are more alcoholics in America
than drug addicts. And why? It's because alcohol is legal. Now, why do we need to compound the mistakes that we know we've caused by legalizing? Why do we need to compound the ravages of alcohol?
I don't agree with you that there's more alcoholics because it's legal. There are more alcoholics because alcohol is a much subtler drug than cocaine. You can drink four beers and not be thinking.
You have to do it for the greater public good. I don't want to live with six locks on my door. We're all living in prison. We all have to hide from everybody else who wants what we have. And I'm sorry, it's gotten down to that. I guarantee you this.
You got a decision to make then. You can either have your... Do you have six locks on your door anyway? I want to know. Do you have six locks? You have three locks.
But when I lived in New York, I had five or six.
I live in New York City, I got two locks on my door. I don't have six locks. I don't know anybody's got six locks on their door.
Oh, boy.
Let's assume you've got six locks on your door. You sit there,
locks on the windows.
You can live with your six locks on your door and locks in your windows, or you can go ahead and let these people destroy their lives and end up unable to fend for themselves. You're going to need rehab at your expense, housing at your expense,
food at your expense. Be a lot cheaper than trying to stop them.
I disagree, because you're going to increase the number of people who cop out, flip out, and become non-contributing members of the human race.
What are we
going to
spend now, $10 billion on this new drug program that's going to stop drugs? Give me a break.
Maybe eight.
$8 billion.
Well, let's go to the money aspect of this, because I have another question for you about it.
Yes,
let's do. I have another question. Nancy Reagan.
Nancy Reagan.
Ooh, Joe. Come on, Joe. Come on.
That's a bad way to start.
Come on, just get warmed up. Give me a break, Joe. Now look, Nancy Reagan had this big, comprehensive, well thought out, extremely executed drug plan. Just say no.
Yeah, it's working real
well.
Just say no.
Well, we'll talk about how it's working. We have to take a break. Once again, this is KFI AM 640, the Meeting of the Mouths. We will be back. Stay with us. KFI AM 640, the Meeting of the Mouths. Rush Limbaugh, your host from now to 11. Barbara DeAngelis will take over then. In the studio, Joe Crummy. Barbara is here reading a love and sex book, getting ready for her segment. Tom Likas and Dave Grosby. Barbara did ask me to say that we will... do you assume that this, by the way, this topic's so far alienating women? Is that why you wanted me to remind women that we will be talking love and sex?
No, I just know that sometimes women like to get into the juice of the matter. And when considering I'm the only woman sitting here with these men who women have listened to in KFI, I think they might be interested in the more personal sides of
their life. Women love to talk about love until it's time to get a divorce. Then they like to talk about money.
Mm-hmm.
Different.
I'll bring that up. we will be...
money is sexy.
We'll be talking about love and sex with Barbara DeAngelis.
We're going to be talking about love and sex with Rush, Tom, Joe, not with me.
As I was taking a break, I don't know that much about it.
We'll find out why you have that handicap when we come back.
We have also, if I may make an announcement, ladies and gentlemen, the Rush to Excellence 89 tour
Is that the real applause, too, on that commercial? Is that the real applause?
The real applause, that actual applause from the actual concert itself.
It hasn't been embellished in any way at all.
Not at all. Not at all. I brought copies of the video, by the way. Everybody would like one here. I'm not selling them. I thought
you're giving them.
Giving them away.
Giving them away. Wonderful.
Anyway,
socialist of you.
No, it's called a capital investment.
I see.
The Rush to Excellence 89 tour is coming to Los Angeles. Actually, the University of California Irvine Bren Events Center on Thursday night, November the 9th at 8 o'clock.
Ooh.
Tickets go on sale Monday. I'm glad because we're going to the hockey game the night before, right?
That's right.
You used to, my gosh.
I invited you to the hockey
game.
I know.
You may have rethought the issue now, but I'm now inviting myself to go with you in public, so you have no choice.
Are you? Oh,
Before you go, you have to lick a frog so you can go in an altered
state. Somebody, I'll tell you what, just to prove Crosby right, that certain percentage, somebody in this room's got to go crazy. If somebody brings a frog in here, I'll lick it. All right?
If somebody brings a frog in here.
There are people all over Los Angeles running out right now.
All right. Now, the Rush to Excellence Tour, again, November 9th, a Thursday night, 8 o'clock, $15, and tickets go on sale Monday at Ticketron. It's the Bren Event Center on the campus of UC Irvine. All right.
Would you settle for a lizard?
No, I'm not going to lick a lizard.
Okay.
Tom has a bird.
That's right.
Yeah, you do have a bird. What kind of bird do you have?
A parrot.
Parrot, that's right. Now, Nancy Reagan. Nancy Reagan's Just Say No.
Yeah.
That was her plan.
Brilliant. It was great.
Brilliant plan. People made fun of it, right, Joe?
That's right.
They said,
We had a lot of fun making fun of it. Come on, Nancy.
Give me a break. Just Say No. So now we have this giant drug problem. And now we have this giant drug war with about 8, maybe 10 billion. Who knows what it's going to be. We're going to increase the amount of dollars that we're giving school systems for the purposes of what? Drug education. Now, what are we going to tell kids in class? We're going to say, just don't do it, right? Why does it take an additional dime to do that? I mean, if that's the drug plan, if education equals telling kids not to do it, why do you need an additional dime?
I would hope not
for
the plan.
Point.
Well, you don't see my point.
No, I'm agreeing with you on this.
The reason drugs are illegal is because it allows the government to build a new bureaucracy and a new police state.
Do you believe in those kinds of conspiracies? Seriously?
It's not a conspiracy.
Well, it has an inertia of its own,
yes,
do you think?
Yes, the government will always do that if it possibly can. I would think a conservative would understand that. You know, see, I'm not a liberal. I'm not a conservative. I'm really a libertarian. I really do see the government trying to take as many rights away from people as they can.
But libertarianism is fine, except that you can't live your life in a vacuum. That's what's wrong with libertarianism.
Well,
if everybody lived their life in a little bubble and never had an effect on anybody else, what they do, you can do libertarianism.
Well, I say you can't live at any of the extremes. I say you cannot be a complete conservative, a complete liberal, a complete socialist,
but telling people not to do drugs is not extreme. That's a helpful thing.
I agree.
Give a little kid not to do it, you're probably helping him. What's wrong with that?
Nobody's arguing about that point, Rush.
Well, if drugs are legal, we should do it.
Is going to do it. You're saying not all drugs are bad, and
everybody else is too chicken to say that.
Just Say No. How is that education? Since when is education going just say no?
Just Say No is not Just Say No. There are reasons why as part of it, but you don't need to expand. Okay, you're groaning over there.
No, I'm just saying I have no problem with telling kids not to use drugs. I say even if drugs are legalized, you should be telling kids not to use drugs. But, of course, the government's going to say, well, it's going to cost $8 billion to do this.
Wait a second. Even if drugs are legalized, tell them to do no. Why can't we tell them not to do drugs? Why can't we make the statement by saying drugs are illegal? Why can't we legalize every form of behavior and then tell people not to do the things that are wrong?
There are lots of things you should not do that are morally wrong or bad for you that are not illegal.
But you sound like one who does not want somebody else establishing your morality.
No, actually, in this particular case, I'm saying the government cannot and has failed at regulating this morality. Therefore, I think we've got to throw in the towel on regulating morality and deal with the other issue, and that is that people are victims of street crime, burglary, the cities are under siege, we're living in prison. We have to deal with that. And if it means that a few people are going to become human vegetables, then I'm sorry, that's the price they're going to... I'd rather they pay the price than I pay the price.
How many people in this country really live in a prison? if you just...
We all do. I have a friend the other night who right down the street, I mean, not from here, but right near West Los Angeles, was held up at a ready teller by some young guy who wanted drugs. He shot my friend through the liver. He's in intensive care. This is in supposedly a nice neighborhood.
But
the guy wanted 20 bucks to buy crack.
How many times a day has this happened to everybody alive? I mean,
it doesn't matter.
You're complaining about that in New York all the time, though. Every time I hear you're complaining about stuff like this.
No, because I don't complain about it. I've never once, you know, knock on this formica here, but none of this has ever happened to me, and I'm not saying because it hasn't happened to me, it doesn't happen to anybody else, but I think that we can get ourselves convinced that things are a lot worse than they really are.
You live in New York.
Of the oppressive media coverage events get.
You live in New York. I grew up in New York. When I was living in New York as recently as 9 or 10 years ago, you could walk down 57th Street at night, buy tomorrow's Daily News. You could do it every night. It was a routine. I went to New York to do the Geraldo show a few months ago. I stayed at the Omni Park Central Hotel on 55th Street, and I went through an old routine. I walked out the front of the hotel door, went up to 57th Street, went out to buy a newspaper. The newspaper stand was surrounded by drug addicts, crack dealers. I couldn't get anywhere near the newsstand. I couldn't even go out and get a newspaper. Now, I'm sorry, I had to go back to the hotel room and sit there with nothing to do and nothing to read because I couldn't go out the street like I used to be.
You're a rich Republican. You call room service and bring it to you. We'll be back. It's KFI AM 640, Meeting of the Mouths, in a moment. And we have the best talk in Los Angeles, folks. There's absolutely no question about it. This is a Meeting of the Mouths, Rush Limbaugh, with Joe Crummy, Barbara DeAngelis, Tom Likas, and Dave Grosby. We'll be joined during the day by Christopher Bartlett, Mother Love, and Terry Ray Omer will be in and out. She's got the news coming up as well in just a few minutes. I want to change topics only briefly before we hit the news, and then we come back to this drug thing as the day goes on. I just want to say one thing. I finally figured out during the break the difference that I'm having. The problem I'm having in arguing with you people about this is that you, Tom, and maybe to a certain extent you, Barbara, are looking at law as government's means of exerting control and punishment over people's behavior, not letting you do what you want to do, and that's not what law is. Law is the limits society places on itself. Law is the definition of morality. You cannot separate the two.
I disagree. We just mentioned at the break about in Georgia it is illegal to have oral sex with your own wife.
That's right.
Now that is putting limits on what people can do in the privacy of their own homes, which
is
no one's business.
Now, but the people of Georgia have voted okay. They're the elected representatives. Here's your libertarian philosophy. The elected representatives of the people of Georgia have said that's a law that they can live with.
Where they re-elect 98% of all incumbents, but they don't know who's running, and because certain people have the money and the power
and
the position.
No, not in local elections. It doesn't matter. That happens in congressional elections.
They have no right to tell me what I can do in my bedroom.
Maybe they do. In Georgia, they've decided they do. That's my whole point. Now, it's not the people of...
I'm never going to Georgia.
Don't go. Now, by the way, a judge...
I'm going for civil disobedience.
All right, now, the World Series. We've got a caller who wants to know whether or not the World Series should continue. We have about a minute and a half, 2 minutes here.
Absolutely, the World Series should continue.
And why?
And it should continue in the Bay Area.
And why?
For no other reason that after a situation such as this one, the first thing you want to do in putting your lives together is get a sense that things are back to normal again, that life is going on. And if it's safe to play the games there, I can't think of anything that's going to be better for that community, or more so, anything that might be more damaging to that community than to take the two teams from that area, take them out of there, move them to Southern California, move them somewhere else, and don't play.
I totally agree.
I think it should be played. I think Faye Vincent, the commissioner of baseball, did a great thing.
Yep.
Moving it a week, I think, was good. Both teams are going to contribute a piece of their World Series revenue. I don't think baseball's done anything wrong. I think they've done exactly what they should do.
Joe?
Yeah, I absolutely think the series should continue. Everything should get back to normal. They ought to play the game.
The great thing about sports and what sports is it is, for most people, an escape from their reality.
It's becoming religion in society.
It's where you go to get away from whatever your misery or your humdrum life is like every day. Let sports serve its purpose here. Mm-hmm. Besides that, the focus of the nation will be on it with the television aspect of it, and they can honor the heroes and people who have done a lot here in pregame ceremonies, and they can do a lot to bring the self-esteem of the community. Not bring it back, because I think it exists, but just to reward it and to let the world know. And I think there's no negative about it.
Taking it away would be the worst thing you could possibly do. It would be telling everyone that no, things aren't back to normal,
exactly.
And we don't know when things are going to be normal.
Exactly. Okay. Well, we've responded concluded there in 2 minutes with so much eloquence that I don't know we can muster anymore on the World Series. We have a news break coming up with Terry Ray Elmer. We'll be back for more. The Meeting of the Mouths goes on for 15 more hours. I'm Rush Limbaugh. Joe Crummy is here. Barbara DeAngelis, Tom Likas, Dave Gross. We have another hour with this setup as is. At 11, Barbara sits down, and she will obviously change the direction and focus. And don't miss that. I am going to hang around for it because I need some help in those areas. I really do. 10 o'clock. This is KFI Los Angeles. Terry Ray Elmer now with the news.
The biggest event of its kind anywhere. KFI's Meeting of the Mouths continues. This hour's host, Rush Limbaugh.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is KFI AM 640, hottest talk in Los Angeles. Meeting of the Mouths goes until 1 o'clock this morning, or actually tomorrow morning. In the studio with me now, Joe Crummy and Barbara DeAngelis, Tom Likas, and Dave Grosby. And we have just concluded a rousing hour of discussion in which we talked about frog licking and how Grosby thinks it's no different than drinking milk. We talked about the drug. Am I misstating it?
You are misstating it entirely.
Now, you're misstating it entirely. What I said, all I said, you asked the question, who would the first person be who would ever do this? And I said, who would the first person be that would ever drink milk from a cow? I'm sorry.
All right.
For those of you who've missed it now,
you've heard the entire thing repeated.
Okay, now, let's get away from that.
And as Larry King would say, it'll be repeated later on the Western Time
Zone.
We have also
determined that the World Series should be played, and it should be resumed as soon as they can, and that it should be resumed in the Bay Area. We've spent most of the time, I would say, trying to discuss drugs and come to some consensus on it. It's going to be very difficult to do. And, I want to repeat this because I think this is crucial, because you all have helped me to finally understand what it is I'm dealing with when talking with people. it's the way you look at law. And you, Tom, Barbara, and Tom, the way you look at law is a matter totally different from the way I look at law. I don't look at law as somebody in a more powerful position than I trying to punish me or trying to say, you can't do that. I have a little bit more faith in those who make our laws. It's a limit on behavior that we all agree to.
Okay, we don't all agree.
That's right. Consensus agrees.
I agree with you in principle. I mean, I am really not that far left at all. I think laws are important. I think they protect people. However, there's a whole batch of laws that are not protecting anybody except making certain people comfortable who have a certain kind of morality. And let's get down to the sexual laws. Why should somebody tell a couple that they can't have oral sex in the privacy of their own home, or that they can't be, copulation if they're two gay men? And what harm is that doing to society?
Which case?
First one. Why a man who is having oral sex with his wife, how is making a law that says he can't
do it protecting society?
What's he going to do, like leave the house and be like ravaged and do it to everyone?
That is a law under which I would rather not live. And I would gather that now as life has evolved in the state of Georgia, where that law does exist, that more people are deciding it's a stupid law and they'll get it changed, which is the way these kinds of things happen.
The law has been changed, and of course now we find out the real reason this law was made in the first place. They've changed the law to say, well, if you're a married couple, you can engage in oral sex.
But
the real reason for it is to nail homosexuals. That is why sodomy laws are made. It has nothing to do with regulating heterosexual sex. The powers that be have no interest in doing that.
Wait a minute. Why did they put a guy in jail down there for having oral sex with his wife? They did.
They
spent a year. Why? Because of bad law. When the law was executed.
Is it a better law now that it only applies to homosexuals?
Well, I would support that law.
You
Why?
Support that law?
It's not, but it's
Come
none
on.
Of your business what people do in bed.
It's none of my business what they do in bed. But if what they do in bed has a demonstrable negative impact on the rest of society, then it is.
What kind of negative impact does it have on society if two men do something in bed?
Have you ever heard of AIDS?
Well, we're talking about oral sex now. Let's talk about that for a second. What's so bad about oral sex? How is that wrecking society?
No, we're not talking about oral sex.
We just were talking about 10 seconds ago.
Well, but they moved the topic.
Well, let's move it back for a second.
I just said I would never not live under that law in the state of Georgia. But he then said if it's homosexuality they're trying to stamp out, or whatever you would say that they're trying to nail.
That's what they're trying to do.
Okay, are you saying that before? Are you saying that before we found out about AIDS 10 years ago, whenever it was, and that law was created way before we knew about AIDS, that if AIDS didn't exist, you would say that it was okay for homosexuals to have any kind of sex they wanted in private?
Well, I don't. Let me stipulate this. I think it's wrong. Homosexuality is wrong, and I think whenever it is.
Why is it wrong? Why?
Because I just don't believe that two men were intended to make love together.
I'm
sorry.
Why? What evidence do you have of that?
Biology, Barbara. I'm sorry. The exit point is clearly the exit point. It's not meant for anything else, and it's being used for something totally unintended.
Maybe they don't do that. Maybe they do all kinds of other things. What about the woman and the man who don't quite fit together well? Should they get divorced? You know, there's men who just don't fit into their wives.
You and I are never, ever going to come to any agreement
on this. I know, but people want it, but people would love to hear the reasoning for all this. What is wrong with homosexuality? If people want to do that...
For one thing, I mean, it's perverted. It is unnatural.
Why?
It is abnormal.
Why?
Because we have what we define normalcy as that which most people agree to and do.
Oh, well,
and biologically,
define normalcy by what most people agree to.
You cannot look upon society, you cannot look upon aberrant behavior and define it as such.
It's not aberrant. If we define normalcy by what most people do, then there are countries in which murder should be normal because most people are doing that. Most people thousands of years ago...
No, you cannot find a country for me in the modern age. You cannot find a country where most people do murder. You don't have a country if that were to take place. If homosexuality were normal, you would not have propagation of the race. You wouldn't have more people.
But there's only a small percentage of people who get engaged in that. There's all kinds of things people do normal. Saying that most people do it is where we start getting into totalitarian society.
No.
Since most people, you know, are this weight, what about this? Most people are thin. You are overweight.
That's right.
I think that's aberrant behavior. Therefore, you should be put in jail.
Well,
on a diet.
Let us see. No, let's stick with the put in jail business. Let's see if the elected representatives of the people will pass a law that says people as overweight as Limbaugh, let's make me the standard, should go to jail. I guarantee you that most people won't go.
But I agree.
That's not normal.
Because most people
Barbara.
Are overweight. That's why.
No, that's not why. Because it's not normal.
But you see,
Barbara.
But I don't think it's normal for somebody to. I mean, seriously, if you want it, I don't think you should be put in jail. I don't think anyone should be put in jail for that kind of behavior.
Put anybody in jail for homosexuality unless they force themselves on people who are disagreeing, unless they rape, the same kind of sexual grievances that take place in the heterosexual world, and so forth.
I agree with
that. But if somebody with AIDS, say, for example, knowingly has AIDS and engages in activity designed to spread it, then I would say there ought to be crime. There ought to be some kind of law that can't do that.
I agree with that, too. But we were talking about, you said that aberrant behavior is that which the majority of people disagree with. And I disagree. The majority of the people could be living under a repressive consciousness that comes from years and years of bad education and think something's wrong, and therefore, that's the law.
But normalcy shifts. Normalcy, it evolves along with the rest of society. And I'm telling you, in this day and age, no matter how proudly you want to shout from the mountaintops out here, and no matter how vocal you want to be about it, never ever in the history of the world, past, present, or future, will the majority of